Hey, everybody, welcome back to Monday, the best night of the week. And you know what that means? It's time for another episode of RFRX. I'm Kara, I'll be your host, and I have with me the bestest, the mostest, the greatest co-host, Helen Green, RFR ambassador, support group leader, and fearless psychic. Helen, welcome. How are you?
Hello, happy Indigenous People Day, and yes. Fuck Christopher Columbus Day. Woo!
Yay. Welcome. Thank you for mentioning that. Did you do anything to celebrate the occasion?
I supported capitalism. I worked. Yes. That's what I did.
I also did that. And then I enjoyed a coffee at a like social justice cafe. But
I did not massacre a whole Indigenous group of people. So I count that as a plus.
Yes. RFR is an organization that does not support genocide.
Yeah, don't do it, guys.
Yes. Do not do that.
It's frowned upon.
It is frowned upon.
It is.
Yes. And I am so glad that we are actually, in all seriousness, celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day these days, because that is important. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Now that I got that off my chest, let's move into what's going on tonight, Kara. I want to introduce our guest. Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. And you knew that because you are the fearless psychic sidekick. Yes.
It's not because I have notes.
No, it's definitely not the notes that we're clearly reading from. No, it's not that. But it's good that we bring that up because Rob is going to talk to us about psychics this evening. And let me tell you a little bit about Rob in case you don't know him. He is a returning guest and also a wonderful volunteer and co-host on here as well. We are super excited to have him. And Rob Palmer has had a diverse career in engineering, having worked as a spacecraft designer, computer programmer, and software systems engineer. He began writing for Skeptical Inquirer in 2018 and to date has had 60 articles. That's 60 articles published by Skeptical Inquirer and other skeptic media on 3 continents. Rob writes about contemporary skeptical issues, and for his column, he has interviewed individuals as diverse as astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller, John DeLancey, Star Trek's Q, Thomas Westbrook from Holy Kool-Aid, Drew McCoy, the genetically modified skeptic, and Seth Andrews. Rob is also a public speaker and has given talks for various skeptic and humanist groups, including RFR. He has been a speaker at DragonCon and twice so far at CSICon. I hear people say it both ways. It's the annual conference of the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. He has also been interviewed about his work on various podcasts and YouTube shows, including The Skeptic Zone, Big Picture Science, Banachek's Brain, and The Thinking Atheist. Rob takes a special interest in combating dangerous beliefs and educating the public about the harm that often befalls vulnerable victims who trust in people making paranormal and supernatural claims. While claims like these are commonly believed, Rob reminds us that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Name that quote. Who's that from? Put it in the chat. So tonight we will learn about the results of a recently completed extensive investigation into the precision or lack thereof of the published predictions of prominent public paranormal practitioners from down under. By the way, tonight's presentation will be an extended version of the talk Rob will be giving in just a few weeks at CSICon, the convention in Las Vegas, achieving a unique record, a hat trick at that convention. So Rob, take it away.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me with this topic. I'm excited to do this. It's sort of preparation for the conference. This is a little bit, I'm in my own home, I'm talking to my computer screen, and there I'm going to be on a stage with like 600, 800 people in front of me, so it'll be a little bit more nerve-wracking. And as you mentioned, I've done it before, but it was way before in the olden times, before the pandemic, so I hardly remember. Just being in a room with that many people is going to freak me out, frankly. So this is great to be able to do this. So you want to talk about the poll first, just to see what kind of people we have in the audience?
Yes. Were we able to get that pulled up? For some reason, I'm having some trouble pulling it up. Helen or Rob, are you able to share?
Can you see it, Helen? You cannot see the poll? Can any people people, that is weird because people, I have it up and people.
Am I pulling the pull up?
Are you? I don't know. Are you?
All right. And pull.
Oh, okay. So you were able to launch it. Sorry. I had some kind of catastrophic technical difficulty on my end. I apologize, folks. All right.
So I'm going to end the poll.
All right.
Bam. And then share results. There we go.
And those of us who may be psychic should already know the results, but, you know, I'm sure Rob will tell us more about that.
So this is interesting. So especially for people who are going to listen to this on the audio podcast later and can't see this. First question was, do you believe any psychics have paranormal powers? It was yes, no, or not sure. And there's not one person who put yes, interestingly. This is an unusual group of people, and I'll show you that later statistically. Wow. 75% said no and 25% not sure. Do you believe you have psychic or other paranormal powers? Nobody said yes. We have been on one of these before where someone thought they did, so they're not here, or they didn't answer the poll, if that's the case.
Or they learned more during your previous talk.
Doubtful. We had a conversation. I don't think I swayed them. So yes was nobody said yes. No was 83% and not sure 17%. And please predict the percent correct predictions in the project I'm going to talk about. It wasn't quite a fair question because you don't know anything about the project, but we gave four options, 0 to 15, 16 to 25, 26 to 50, and greater than 50. And a huge majority said 0 to 15%, with a few scattering on the other numbers and only 3% above 50. So that's interesting. So we'll find out what the reality of that is. Okay, I'm going to hide the poll here. All right, so I'm going to share my screen. And by the way, you guys get 45 minutes of this. I don't know if that's good or bad. And at PsyCon, you're limited to 15. So this is three times the info they're going to get at PsyCon on this subject.
That's even better than being 20% cooler. That's like, what's that, like, you know, 300% of the content?
This just adds to your coolness, Kara.
Okay, so we did a little practice before we went live here, and I was told the volume of the, I have like three different audio video things in here. It was a little bit low, so you might be prepared to up the volume when it starts playing. So everyone can see that? Somebody tell me, Cara?
Yes, we are okay. Good. Yeah.
Okay, so mind the gap. And I am going to be talking about the Great Australian Psychic Prediction Project. That's a mouthful, so we called it GAP.
The psychics offer wonder and endless possibilities in a world that often seems difficult and mundane. They promise health, wealth, wisdom, eternal life. But if you examine the record, it's not the psychics, but the hard-nosed scientists who have actually delivered the things that improve human life.
So if people know who that is, put that in the chat, please. I know there's at least one person here. I saw them enter from Argentina who definitely knows who that was. So the reason I played that is he was talking about, well, you know, the psychics don't really deliver that, but scientists do. So this project was created to examine whether that first part is actually true. Maybe they do. Do psychics actually deliver any of what they say they deliver? By the way, I'm getting like pop-ups on my screen because I'm an admin here. Is anyone seeing that occasionally, pop-ups saying about people going to join the waiting room?
I'm not seeing that on the screen okay. That you're sharing.
I can.
That's good. Oh. All right. So I don't know what to do about that. I don't know there's anything we can do it. Okay. Well, hopefully it won't be too disruptive.
We will just carry on.
Okay, so here is an outline of what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to tell you what the project is about. What is this GAP? Talk about how we collected the data. Tell you how we scored the predictions. I'll give you the overall result. That was a number that was hinted at in the poll question. And then we'll go into some specific areas of interest to Australians and the psychics in Australia predicting these things. I'll talk about the misses, if they had any. Why people believe this stuff, and a little bit about how we publicize the results of this so we weren't just preaching to other skeptics, and closing thoughts. So The Great Australian Psychic Prediction Project was created and managed by a gentleman named Richard Saunders. He was a former president of the Australian Skeptics, and he produces the Skeptic Zone podcast, the podcast of science and reason from Australia. I highly suggest people subscribe to that if you're into podcasts. And this project had the goal of gathering and reviewing enough data to be able to draw a valid conclusion as to whether individuals really do possess the ability, by psychic or other paranormal means, to reliably foresee future events. I was a member of this team, and that's why I'm talking to you about it tonight. I'm going to give you an insider perspective of this unique investigation into the accuracy of a large group of data originating from people with supposed divination abilities. Right. The project ran for about 12 years and was completed just late last year. It consisted of collection first and then analysis of almost 4,000 psychic or otherwise paranormal predictions made by over 200 people in Australia claiming to have knowledge of future events. Right now, I want to be clear here. The majority of these people claim psychic powers, but the data set also includes predictions about future attributed to or mixed in with other pseudoscientific things like astrology and tarot card reading. But, you know, we just call them all psychic predictions and psychics for simplicity. All predictions that were analyzed were collected at first because they were published in Australian media, right? Again, this was, you know, Australian centric. So that was a requirement. It had to be somebody making these predictions in Australia. It was magazines, newspapers, radio and TV, or websites, YouTube, and other sources. And as I mentioned, there was 21 years of data that were collected. So we did not go into this to use the quote debunking, right? We weren't just, oh, this is bull and we're going to prove it. We went in with an open mind. If the data showed that these people could do what they said they would, we would be astounded, but we would publish it and then have to figure out, wow, how do these powers work? We believe this is the largest such effort ever undertaken in the world. So regarding the data collection, it started when Richard Saunders, with some help, collected and archived predictions, starting with those available in print publications. So he didn't just write them down or, you know, type them into a spreadsheet. He actually made copies of everything. So if anything was challenged, he would have the originals. The Psychics Directory, that's a publication, was the first source he mined. Then he went to magazines and other print sources, and he went to the State Library of New South Wales, the State Library of Victoria, and places like that. Some things, you know, some places had the magazine, some things had microfilm. Also, predictions were made on radio, and he could get recordings, TV, and YouTube. So those were all added to the database. This was an extremely labor-intensive process. Thousands of hours, uncounted hours, to do this data collecting. But for as much as time it took to do that, because it's far easier to say that something is going to happen than to determine if it actually did happen, especially when you're looking back 20 years, Saunders realized it was going to take a very large, sustained effort to score the huge number of predictions he had collected. So starting in 2016, about five members of his club, the Australian Skeptics, met in person several times to begin the scoring. And then Saunders continued it very slowly over many years, mostly on his own. And it seemed like it was going to take forever. Well, the pandemic intervened and places were locked down, Australia worse than some others. So we thought this would be a great time to put heads together and complete the project. So with the support of Susan Gerbic, an international team of volunteers was formed to complete the project. By the way, Susan Gerbic will be on next week.
Yes, right, stay tuned.
Right. Yes. So we met weekly on Zoom sessions run by Saunders for well over a year, researching, analyzing, and assigning a score to every prediction in the database. And they weren't divvied up so that Rob, you go and figure this out, and Adrian, you go figure this out. We collectively came to decisions. So it was all the things were decided in that way. And some of the times we had arguments about whether something was did happen or didn't happen if it wasn't clear. So we can talk, I'll talk about that when I get to categories in a minute. One interesting thing is as we worked through the database and looked at each prediction, the actual number of predictions in the database grew because often these people will say, this and this and this and this and this are all gonna happen. So and then maybe very unconnected events. So what looks like it's one line in the database to begin with might wind up being 3, 4, 5, 6. So the time spent by our team scoring the predictions was on the order of 1,000 person hours. Doing the math, that's one person in a room with no sleep for 42 person days. It was a monumental effort.
You know what it's like to journey out of a once cherished belief. Maybe you were devoutly religious, escaped a cult, or perhaps you simply navigated out of some very difficult days, and now you'd like to help someone else do the same. Recovering from Religion is a wonderful support organization for people who feel confused, troubled, and alone as they come to grips with the possibility that they no longer hold a religious belief, or that they risk losing everything if they're honest with themselves and others about their journeys. These people need our help, and Recovering from Religion needs yours. RFR is seeking volunteers. Perhaps you're formerly religious, or you have a specific skill set like speaking a foreign language. Maybe you're just a good listening ear. The RFR Volunteer Training Program will help you translate those abilities into critical assistance, encouragement, and support for the men, women, and youth who contact RFR every day from all over the world. You can relate. You can understand. And you can make their journeys easier. Join the team at Recovering from Religion and remind someone else that they are not alone and someone is here to help. To find out more, click the volunteer tab at recoveringfromreligion.org.
So how did we score things? All right, something was either correct, it was just plain wrong, or now we get to a little bit of ambivalence here. It's unknown. We couldn't check if it was right or wrong. I'll get into details about these last three things in a bit. It was expected or it was too vague. So let's see, I'll cut to the chase here so you don't have to wait and give you the results. The data analysis showed that these people were unexpectedly good at predicting future events. The vast majority of all their predictions were absolutely demonstrably correct. They avoided making predictions that were expected, vague, unfalsifiable, or just plain wrong. And important events which would become historic were routinely predicted in advance and virtually no big event was missed. So the evidence demonstrates that they are really psychic. Bet you all didn't see that coming.
Why do I have the feeling that you're going to give us some more detail about that, Rob?
Yeah. Also, if anybody believes that, I got a bridge to sell you and it's a really good price.
I'm sussing, Rob. I'm sussing.
Yes, this is very sus.
Very sus.
Yeah, that wasn't quite the truth there. So that's how psychics would say when they look at their own numbers. And we're going to look at that a little later. By the way. So, all right. So besides correct and wrong, right? The first one I showed you that was a little odd was unknown. All right. What does that mean? So some predictions were just impractical or really impossible to verify. They involve things like spiritual or emotional happenings to people or events dated a very long time in the future. Now, most of the predictions in this database were taken from places where people gave the prediction in the last week of December of a year for the next year. Very often it was supposed to be just for the next year. Sometimes they said in the next few years, it was a little ambiguous, but also occasionally they would say 10 years from now. And you know, if that was made in 2021, that's when we stopped it. So we don't know, it may happen, it may not. So it's right now unknown. Also, some predictions are made about complex trends, financial statistical predictions, and we just didn't have the wherewithal to actually check that out. Also, events unlikely to have been publicly acknowledged and recorded, especially for individuals. We did not have any way. If it wasn't published, you know, on the internet somewhere, we couldn't check it. And
so this would be stuff like, you know, someone said, you're going to have a good day later this year.
We're going to get examples next slide. Yes, exactly. So there were almost 80 of this type in the database. So not too high of a percent, which that's good. So we successfully scored all of the other ones except for these 79. But here are some examples. So the actress Sharon Stone, financial investments will start to show good profits now, made by a person with a double name in 2002. So, you know, do we call up Sharon Stone? Do we ask for her financial advisor? Do we ask for her records? How do you check that? Not possible. There will be some good airfares before Easter, some of the best prices in 15 years, made in 2014. We just didn't have the way to check that. Prime Minister John Howard, all the political people mentioned mostly are Australians, or actually they could be people from the UK also, because it's a Commonwealth country. I'm not sure who that is, but I do not see him making his 90s. And so we can't check that because he doesn't turn 90 to 2028. But that's kind of awful, by the way, to be that person and, you know, pick up the thing and read that. Oh, you're not, you know, it's going to say when you're going to die, or at least you're not going to live to a certain date.
Well, and also, I mean, isn't it the case that, you know, we can look and see what the average life expectancy is, and they're picking a date that's well beyond that to begin with?
Yeah, in that case, quite true.
Yeah.
Right. Another actress, Sandra Bullock, won't remarry until in her 50s. Well, right now, she's still in her 50s. So, you know, don't know. Again, that's unknown. And William and Kate, the royal couple, William to outlive Kate and marry again, made in 2011. They're both still alive, so it might happen, but we don't know right now. So those are the sorts of unknowns. Now, expected. This is a common thing the psychics do, is to make a very large number, frankly, of obvious predictions. And they often take credit for these events as being correctly predicted by themselves, right? These are events that were very likely or absolutely going to happen. And we did not give them a correct on these, even if they did happen, right? There were 580 of the 2,000 or 4,000 in the database. That is amazing, right? They make a lot of expected results. So here's some examples. Many children going missing over the next 2 years, unfortunately, happens all the time, right? It's not quite as obvious, or maybe it is, as saying the sun will come up tomorrow. Melbourne Cup, some race in Australia. The winner may well prove to be a young to middle-aged light brown or chestnut horse. That's what would be expected. Most racing horses are that color and also young to middle-aged, not seniors. Wild storms and bushfire danger. And if it doesn't say a location, they mean somewhere in Australia. And yeah, every year. Large earthquakes happening in several parts of the world in particular, and it lists places where they always happen. And then a major bank will experience a severe cyber hacking situation that will dramatically impact on many of its customers. Banks are hacked all the time. And also kind of vague, what's a major bank and what's severe cyber hacking? There's a lot of weasel words thrown into things by psychics sometimes. And snowstorms in Germany, that is kind of like, you know, whatever. It's gonna be hot in Las Vegas.
Can you imagine if you paid money to someone and you got this kind of thing?
These people make, I'm going to show you a number later. These people make good book. Well, so the other category of a large number of predictions was too vague. They make a huge number of these ambiguous predictions and, you know, in their own websites and their own, you know, material they crow about themselves, they often take credit for these events as being correctly predicted. Right. We did not give it to them. We put it in a separate category called too vague. And there were 700 of this type in the database. Right. Well, here's a bunch of examples. Before the end of the year, we'll also see a lot of underhanded things revealed in politics and business.
No, I'm shocked. Yeah, it can't be.
So this is one of these cases where it could have been expected too, right? Or too vague. So, you know, sometimes this is a little bit of gray area between those two areas. But yeah, like duh. Upheavals and shocks in institutional and political life, like that never happens. A very specific one here about George Bush and his daddy, but then they get into really generic stuff about feelings and relations between them. A recent agreement with a man close to her, Elle McPherson, will attract a breakthrough love-wise, but she's unsure whether the compatibility issue will wash. Vague, and how do you check that anyway? A visit to the coast of Australia, I don't know which one, by a celebrity couple, you know, how are you counting as a celebrity? Possibly involved with the movies. Very vague.
So,
global charity. Yep.
I was just laughing because you were mentioning politics and George Bush, and Ronald Reagan had a resident astrologist.
Yep. Nancy hired him. Yeah.
Yeah. If you all want to know more about that, Behind the Pastors did a deep dive into Ronald Reagan and Nancy getting like decisions on global policies from an astrologer. So
Yeah, the pushback I heard was, well, it was only when to have his meetings about subjects. I'm not sure that's true, but that is what they said. Yeah. A global charity could appeal to Nicole Kidman's soft-hearted side. Prime Minister Turnbull of Australia will have an extremely challenging year, and a bunch of months are mentioned. Joe Hildebrand, don't know who that is, going into a spiritual year, being creative, a little vague, I was, and unexpected objects falling to earth. Didn't even know, I mean, maybe we should have put that as wrong because nothing was in the news.
But unexpected, like, by who?
Unexpected, right, exactly. last page of these, I think. A purple flower from a cactus being used to prevent brain bleeding. It will be beneficial to brain surgery. We have no way of verifying or not, so we just gave that as a too vague. Probably didn't happen. Now, this one, I'm pretty sure it didn't happen. The entry of planet Uranus into Aries sign will bring in new political leaders. You know, if we had new political leaders, I guess every year there are some places. Again, it's vague, but pretty sure it had nothing to do with the astrological information there, if it did happen. And this one I just love. As a universe, we will respect money more, and there will be a better and more efficient economy. People will use money wisely and as a result become more spiritual and use it to serve humanity rather than only for material uses. We could have put that as wrong. I'll just put it as vague.
Yeah, I feel like that's wrong.
Oh, and this is one of my favorites. Who will win the U.S. election? This made 1 month before, no, not 1 month, several weeks before the actual U.S. presidential election in 2020. The numerology shows that both Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden have a chance of winning the next U.S. presidential election. Duh. It is still up to the people to decide. Now, if they had put something about, it may be also up to the insurrectionists, that would have been something to look at. But they missed that one. So here's a peek into our database. This is how we stored it. It's an Excel spreadsheet. And Richard had put the columns going from left to right, the year the prediction was made, who predicted it, where it was published, the topic and a main subject. That was kind of vague, but it was so we could go through the database and sort on certain things to see what was going on, the prediction itself. And then the last two columns were for the scoring team, our verdict and notes, if it wasn't obvious. So I mentioned that there were gray areas as to how to define something. Was it, you know, too vague? Was it expected? So I'm going to talk a little bit about that now. So we did not count predictions as correct, which were in fact correct, but were obviously going to happen. I mentioned that before, right? These went into the expected category. And, you know, a pushback from the psychics might be, well, this significantly reduced the percent correct. But we thought that's justifiable. Because if, you know, a psychic can make every prediction about an obvious thing that's going to happen, and they would look like geniuses, you know, it's ridiculous. So we did not let them get away with that in the database. We scored some borderline expected predictions as correct. So that's kind of going the other direction, right? This one was about a horse with a proven record over 12 months to win. That probably is what usually happens. It's expected, but it did happen. And in this case, we did mark it correct. And this long-winded one is about a swimming star from Australia trying to get a television career and it not working out. And in fact, it did not work out. So we marked it as correct. Although for most people, attempt at going into a television career doesn't work like that. So that could have been counted as expected, but we gave it to them.
Well, and isn't that, Rob, something that is kind of a big part of psychic predictions, right? Sometimes the predictions are guesses that they have a 50-50 or greater chance of getting correct in the first place. Like, it's kind of a way of hedging
your bets,
right?
Are you reading the screen that's there right now? Because that's what that says.
You're psychic. Sorry, I'm going to stop talking.
You are freaking psychic. That is what this slide says. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm rubbing off on you with my fearless psychic.
Anytime. You could almost say I'm psychic.
So as Karen was asking, yes, predictions with coin flip probabilities were scored either correct or wrong and treated equivalently to the more unlikely predictions. And this absolutely drives the percent correct towards 50, artificially inflating the success rate. Right. When it was all done, we talked about, well, maybe we should have done a special category 50-50 shot and just marked it in there. And that would certainly show you that the percent correct is a lot less than even the number we're going to show you later. So here's some examples of these. The Dragons will make it to the finals. Some team in Australia, I don't know if that's Sports Bowl a lot, but something. But the odds were 8 of 15 when this prediction was made in 2005. And it was correct, so we gave it to them. The ALF Grand Final, Geelong to win the Grand Final. One thing, by the way, interesting in working on this project was I learned a lot about Australia. Politics, sports, geography, and things like that. But it kind of went in one ear and out the other. I didn't maintain most of it. I don't remember what Geelong is now. But this prediction was made on the day of the game, and the odds are 50-50. And it was successful, so it went into the correct category. Australian cricket team does very well on tour this year. This one's a little bit more ambiguous. It's not quite a 50-50 shot, but basically you either do well or you don't. So, all right, they did well. We gave it to them. Some event called the Ashes Cricket, Australia to win, and they won, and the odds were 50-50 at the time the prediction was made in 2014. So here's another thing about gray areas. In some cases, we scored predictions as correct that could have been judged as too vague, but nevertheless were fundamentally correct. And here is probably one of the best ones. Major American cities targeted for terrorist attacks, a lot of carnage is indicated. Made in May 2001. All right, the year of the September 11th attacks. So got it correct on that one. But now, so the issue I will say, and you'll see this later, is they predict this kind of thing all the time. So, right, so they got a lot of wrong, because it didn't happen in 2000, 1990, you know, whatever. So, but this one, okay, they said it that year and it happened that year, so we gave it to them. What were you going to say, Helen?
But like, you know, this is me with my skeptic hat on, shocking, I know. But like a lot of these things, like even before, okay, it was May of 2001, but during that time, remember that we were already having rising tensions in the Middle East, and there was already reports of all that stuff going through the news filters and all that type of stuff. So, you know, call me skeptical in a little bit. I find that kind of sus that maybe a terrorist attack will happen on U.S. soil. Shocking. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And so this is the kind of thing. If you were on a scoring team, you may have been the voice that pushed that into another category. You know, it was like usually six of us, sometimes eight, sometimes nine, on a particular day. And we came up with this one, and you know, we might have had different opinions on how to score that. And you know, and I don't remember the details. There were so many to go through, but in this case, marking a correct one out.
So is it wrong of me to be more bothered by the incorrect punctuation in that sentence? Like, I would have marked it incorrect because it was a run-on sentence. is that also one of the categories?
It should have been.
Cara's going to mark you wrong on grammar.
So I'm coming in here. I'm going to adjust these results. We cannot accept that.
Being an engineer and, you know, understanding somewhat physics, you'll see some later on that bother me more than grammatic and punctuation errors. You know, misunderstanding how actual the universe works. You'll see some of those.
Fair enough.
All right. So here are the actual results, right? 11% of all predictions were scored as correct. So from what I remember from the poll, people got that right. Well done. This included, as I mentioned, a substantial number of coin flip predictions. Most predictions, almost 90, were unknown, not too many, expected, quite a lot, too vague, also a lot. And the poll just jumped up.
Well, I figure since you're comparing numbers, I would pull the poll up. If you want me to take you down again, I'll take it down.
No, I just had to get it off my screen because it blocked my screen. And,
okay, I'm sorry.
I don't know if PowerPoint's working. Oh, there we go. And wrong was over half of the predictions, marked by our method or just flat out wrong. And this is the result graphically. I had rounded the numbers up to integers, but those are the actual numbers in the database. So as you can see, the right-hand side, overwhelming majority. If you put expected and too vague together, that's quite a huge amount right there. And the ones that just correct, even with the coin flip probabilities, was a hair under 11%. Right? So to sum that up, these people were appallingly bad at predicting future events. And these are the famous people who get paid to do this. And that, you know, go on TV shows and are sought after by the media when they want to fill some time. And as Richard Saunders put it, after seeing all the results, most of what was predicted did not happen, and most of what happened was not predicted. Right. Now, since so many of them were wrong, over half, I wanted to explain that, right? So 53%, as I mentioned, that was 2,000 plus were scored as wrong. And I'm going to give you a bunch of interesting examples. Charles and Camilla, right? The current king and queen of England. This was predicting they would marry in 2000 and 2001. And this was from wedding was in 2005. Brad and Angelina and their relationship won't last beyond another year. That was made way back in 2007. They did get divorced, but not till 2019. Sydney being hit with a large earthquake, a lot of damage. Next few years, they get opening there and they were still wrong. Hadn't happened from 2013, still hasn't happened. I love this one. I don't think authorities will catch Osama bin Laden next year. I don't think they'll ever catch him. I think it's likely he's had plastic surgery to hide his identity in 2005. For those who don't remember the history, yeah, he was killed in 2011. Barack Obama, this was during his presidency, he was going to fall from grace. An incident seemed to involve pork in the futures market for some reason, or farming, and it will take a toasted ham sandwich to a synagogue.
You know, I got to give him credit that they were not vague on that one.
They were not vague. Now, this is just wonderful. I could imagine being Stevie Wonder and reading the newspaper Braille, that you may die in 2019, you know, no, still kicking. And again, this is another example of them always predicting terrorist attacks. And this one, they got wrong, 2012, no. Hillary Clinton will be next president for the US, 2016, if only. Joe Biden will be nominated, but will drop out before the election, and Donald Trump will win the election in 2020. These people did not know the personality of Donald Trump. He wouldn't leave the White House when he lost. And this is the one about the physics. Anti-gravity to lift heavy objects will become a reality instead of a dream. Made back in 2001. And I am still waiting to buy this on Amazon, on an Amazon Prime sale. So we're going to go into some specific subjects here. Because we categorize things by topic, we were able to do this and sort the database. So there were 26 predictions about Queen Elizabeth II in the database starting in 2002 and going to 2020. I'm actually surprised it was only that many. There were many about Charles and the other royal families. So one was too vague, three were expected, 85% were flat out wrong. There were in fact 12 predictions that she would either abdicate or die in 2004, 2010, three times, 2012, 2013, 14, 18. They, you know, not so young woman. They were just like going with the odds and they were never right. Right. Then the last one we have is I see the queen leaving, basically going into retirement and by 2023, 2025. No, sorry, missed that one too. Not a single prediction in the entire database was about the British monarchy, which they are quite obsessed with, was correct. It's quite astounding. And this is a peek into the database for those. Yeah, and it's interesting, as you can see at the near the bottom there, health issues for members of the royal family with Camilla, the Queen, and Prince Philip. Well, yeah, you know, people have health issues all the time. So we put that as expected. None of them were serious.
Hey, Rob, can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
So all these people that gave predictions, when they were presented with new data to show that their predictions were wrong or too vague,
oh, sure. They all admitted
they give some
ad
hoc explanation.
No, they just gave all their money back that they made off their career.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, I will actually show you one of the websites of one of the people who got a lot of predictions in our database. You might be shocked. So
okay.
Trump was another big topic, even though it's all the way on the other side of the world. There were 53 predictions about Donald Trump from 2004, way before he got into politics, to 2020. Five were correct, 11%, but four of those were just 50-50 odds, saying something about him. 6% too vague, 13% expected stuff, and 72%, way higher than their average for all predictions, was just wrong. So this is from 2004, right? When he was just a millionaire, billionaire, whatever, not a politician. Basically, like an earthquake was going to shake the foundation of one of his buildings. Yeah, no, that doesn't happen in Manhattan. Trump or Hillary to win the federal election in 2016. Hillary. And Donald Trump will not remain in power long, will be trumped by either Hillary Clinton or Michelle Obama. I don't know how that was supposed to happen after he was already the president, but no. And Donald Trump, a Gemini, according to his horoscope, will make a good president, and his chart is starting exceptionally well on a positive note through 2017. Yeah. Sometimes I wish we had a category that was just very, very, very wrong. And a look into our database on Donald Trump. Another category, war. 19 predictions about war from the beginning of the project to 2020. Two of them were correct. Both, this was arguably vague or expected. Two were vague. Seven were expected. And 42%, a little less than the average from all of them, were wrong. Some examples, we could see all-out war in the Middle East for 2001. Now, see, one might, I don't remember what month this might have been, but this might have been after September 11th and just figured there was going to be an all-out war because of that right away in 2000. China and the U.S. will come to blows over some very critical issues mid-2012. Still waiting for that. Might happen, but not the next year when it was predicted. Chemical and biological attacks start to happen around the world. This was predicted in 2017. And world leaders were trying to disempower chemical weapons with some success. Nothing on the internet about that. North Korea will be invaded, and eventually there'll be more peace there. I don't know who is supposed to invade North Korea, because I don't think South Korea would do that. And China's their friend, and those are both of their neighbors, so I don't get that.
Yeah, I'm taking issue with the eventually there will be more peace there.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
a lot of their grammar is questionable, highly suspect. And, you know, people wonder if it's intentional to make it vague. And again, this one's not vague at all. There'll be a war in North Korea involving a small nuclear explosion. That was kept out of the internet if that happened, because we couldn't find it.
So how can there be more peace with nuclear explosions, Elizabeth?
Well,
like, how does that work?
That's a good question.
Those were by the same person. The same person. It's like betting against themselves. Like,
you're contradicting yourself.
Could be right, and the other one wrong. And
now, see, that's called hedging your bets. Hedging your bets. One is made in one place, and one is made in another. Yeah. And so this is the war items here. And I think this is the last one I'm going to show you, is natural disasters. This is a great topic. And I personally loved when Richard Saunders said, okay, now we're going to talk about a natural disaster, because it's like, you can check if it happened, not if, you know, Elle McPherson felt, you know, in her heart pain about something that happened in her love life, right? So these are easier than most of the average predictions to figure out. And they only got 5% correct, way half of the average of all the predictions, right? Because you can't go 50-50 on this, pretty much. So, you know, that shows you something. 8% were vague and 33% were expected. That's kind of like, you know, there will be brush fires in Australia. And wrong, just hit their average, 53%. Natural disaster predictions were wrong. So here were some interesting ones I pulled out of the database to show you. We're going to get a severe cyclone, but someone has diverted it so we won't suffer a direct hit. This is one of these ones where they don't understand physics.
Sometimes
forces act to protect us, it says right there, and that's what will happen in this case. In fact, it wasn't just vague or whatever. It was wrong because a cyclone hit, causing $50 million in damage.
I'm still stuck on, like, just the fact that, you know, a person diverting cyclones was just built into this, you know. You know how people do sometimes.
the Weather Service has these people that just, you know.
Well, Yuri Geller, Yuri Geller, who's a famous, you know, person claiming to bend spoons and fix, you know, people's wristwatches if they held them up to their TV when he was on a TV show. Maybe he said he could do that. I'm not familiar, but maybe. Earthquake Israel could hit, very bad grammar. Bad earthquake Israel could be hit rather hard. Didn't happen, hasn't happened. Abby Rose predicted major catastrophes in India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, especially earthquakes. Kind of very general and vague again, but none of those happened in the year it was predicted. Then another thing, a volcanic eruption on the Indian subcontinent, largest on record. That's kind of specific, and no, that did not happen. Now here's one of these ones with physics, just getting everything wrong. By the way, my screen is obscured by my controls on the bottom, and I don't want to click it because last time I did that in a presentation, it messed everything up. So can somebody read that to me if they can see the whole thing?
Watch the video for discussions on Planet X or
Nibiru
approaching our solar system in 2012, having a major impact on our sun's solar flares.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
That could mean more severe weather or earthquakes disasters for 2011.
And that doesn't work that way either. You know, no. So, yeah, no. So Pacific Islands would go completely underwater. Now, if we said sometime in the very far future, maybe. But no, this was for the next year, predicted to happen in 2013. No record of that. Another thing with Sydney, because it's a big city in Australia, they're always talking about things happening in the city. Another large earthquake caused a lot of major damage next few years. So no, we were almost 10 past it, still didn't happen. Wow, this is like a long shot. Los Angeles, a huge earthquake. This could have been expected even if it did happen, but it didn't happen at all, so just wrong. Hawaii to suffer another large volcanic eruption mid-year. They have eruptions in Hawaii all the time, but there was nothing that was categorized as large in 2014, so no. Tsunami warning, the east coast of Australia following a large earthquake, didn't happen. And this is a weird one. Seven hills of Rome would be flattened. I didn't know that was a real thing that you would see that you could flatten, but yeah, no.
Flattened how? Like, what does that mean?
I don't know what that means. large solar flares. Here's another one that, like, wow, impact the USA in July, September, August, and interfere with electricity supply. Well, maybe. That maybe is physically possible if it was an event of enough magnitude. But no, it didn't happen. And
also, what happened to August? Like, it starts in July and then skips August.
So you can't go back and ask these people questions to make sense of what they said.
Now, they're not available for follow-up? What?
Now, and here's one of the worst ones of, not understanding how the universe actually works. Eclipses coming up, which will trigger natural disasters. No, eclipses don't do that. And nothing happened that year anyway.
It's just a lot because even if something did happen, like let's say an earthquake happened within the year of a year, but if it's like in LA, in California, where it's like you still don't get points, man, because
if they said the worst one in history and it happened, then we would have definitely given them the correct, for sure,
right?
And here's a look into the database for natural disasters. So Wrong. Oh, I did add one more just for tonight. Religion. I looked up and there weren't that many because Australians aren't all that religious. Sasha could maybe back me up on that or not. I don't know. But there were only 13 predictions about religion in the database from 2002 to 2017. One was correct, 8%. Expected also one. Too vague, huge number, 31. And wrong, right on their average, 54%. So here's some wrong ones. Could be a new pope in the Vatican over the next 2 years. No, it did happen in 2005. Missed it by that much. Sarah Jessica Parker, something about a connection with Tom Cruise. We'll see him either working with him or taking an interest in his religion, which is Scientology. Nothing in the news about that at all. Adelaide, called the City of Churches, will become known as the City of Miracles as more people pray to Mother Mary Macalop, I don't know who that is, for divine intervention and healing. Nothing in the news about that happening and the city getting a new nickname.
Okay, I feel like Sasha is having a reaction. He knows who that is. Tell us in the chat.
Tell us who that is.
I don't know what is happening with that.
Who's this Mother Mary Macalop?
What is that?
I want to know who that is. Like, I want to know.
I am not familiar with this. But
Sasha, unmute yourself so we can hear your voice because you're...
Oh, I'm loving this.
Yeah, just tell us who is this?
So it's MacKillop, and I've got to go back to your football one. It's Geelong, not, what did you say? Geeling? Oh, that's so cute, Rob. I love you.
Sasha says, bless your heart.
Bless you, my son. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So wait, no. So who is she? Who is Mother
Mary MacKillop? She is an early church founder. I think it was the Catholic Order. maybe 100 and something odd years ago.
So she's a saint? Is she a saint?
Something like that. I believe so. Many buildings are named after her. Mm. There's a lot of, she's kind of a legend in that circle.
So
okay, I have to look up some wiki stuff.
We could find nothing about that. By the way, it was very interesting with most of the people being on the Zoom sessions with Richard Saunders, who is from Australia. You know, he would throw out all these expressions that, you know, we're from the US or Canada and we've never heard of them. And it's like he's like, how do you not know this? Not even a person's name, just an expression. I don't have it in here, but there was one prediction about, and you have to tell me if you know this, Sasha. Due to Clucky Venus, this movie star, I forgot which one, will be in this kind of a mood. Do you know what that means? Clucky?
Hey, Rob.
No.
Oh, yes. Side note, Mary McKillop is, formerly the patron saint of sexual abuse victims. Whoa. For a role in exposing a pedophile priest. Wow. McKillop was born in Australia to poor Scottish immigrants.
Thank you.
So, very
interesting.
There's a little from Britannica.com. Interesting. I love the irony. So, it's not lost on me.
All right, so clucky is a term which Richard said everyone in Australia and New Zealand know. It means in a way of wanting children.
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. If you're clucky, yeah, you're
there,
you're
you maternal. Go. Right. So the prediction said clucky Venus because it was an astrological thing. And how is a planet clucky? But that's what it said. But all of us said, we thought, oh, Richard, there's a typo in the database here. What is this word supposed to be?
It wants to make lots of little baby clucky planets.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
So continuing, Sarah, Duchess of York, may turn to religion or become a hermit. No news about that one. Tom Cruise, start to speak out more on behalf of Scientology after the release of Lee Remini's docuseries, which we found no evidence that Tom Cruise had done that. Great docuseries, by the way, by Lee Remini, if people haven't seen it on Netflix. Scientology, yeah. The Aftermath.
That was a good one.
And I also see a health scare for the Dalai Lama during the year. No, that didn't happen. And this is bad. Someone will try to assassinate the Pope. Again, if you're the Pope, you pick up the paper. Oh, maybe I'll change my schedule for June or July. But no, that didn't happen. But maybe because he read it, he didn't go out anywhere, and therefore they couldn't try to assassinate him. See, this is a problem with psychic predictions. If you're getting information from the future and relay them in your own time, are you not changing where the future, where that came from, like in any science fiction movie?
Right. And like, if you were a psychic, wouldn't you want to focus your efforts on warning people about the dangers that were going to befall them and then predict and prevent the bad things
that would
from
be
happening?
More helpful than most of them being about like people's love lives, frankly. Yes.
Right. Like no one cares.
Yeah. Well, people do. The papers pay
okay
for
should say we don't need that information. We are not benefited by that as a society.
So, all right. So after we finished scoring the year and a half or whatever we took to score them all, we decided, well, all right, really atrocious results. Let's hammer the nail in the coffin here. What didn't they see coming? All right. That's almost as important as what they got wrong. What big events in history, now that we could look back, we could use Wikipedia because it's got a page for every year in history. What happened this year that they should have seen coming, right? If you know what Elle Macpherson is feeling about her love life and something is going to affect the world, you think it would be obvious that you would have predicted this. These are all the things that happened in the world, and we picked 10 from each of the years in the database, and I'm going to show you a small spattering of them here, that they should have seen coming and didn't, right? And by the way, when they go through their own predictions, they never mention this, right? So we did it for them. Here's a sampling in chronological order. In 2000, ancient history now, but I remember it. The Supreme Court decided the winner of the presidential election for the first time ever, not mentioned. And as you saw, they were interested in the presidential elections, right? Talked about Trump, Biden, Hillary. Worst drought in 100 years for Australia. They're always talking about, you know, lack of rain or too much rain, and they missed that one. 2003, I still remember seeing this live. Space Shuttle Columbia burns up on reentry. First such accident from a return from space in the US space program, not mentioned by one psychic in the database. The largest tsunami killing 250,000 people in a few hours in 14 countries, most deadliest natural disaster in recorded history, some reason, these psychics all missed it. There were coordinated suicide bombings in London, and they're always obsessed with the UK. They missed that one. Going to 2006, people might have remembered, you know, very famous television personality, Steve Irwin, died by a freak accident, right? That you saw the predicting other people dying. They missed that one. They do have some technological predictions. I didn't show you that category, but they try to always, you saw the one about anti-gravity being invented. So they missed the introduction of, you know, the first very successful smartphone, which basically revolutionized the industry. 2008, Adelaide, the city that they like to talk about a lot, a record national heat wave, 10 straight days, missed that one. And then Michael Jackson also died very young, unexpectedly, missed that one. 8.8 magnitude earthquake, largest in recorded history, triggering a tsunami in the Pacific, killing a large number of people, not mentioned. And people, I'm sure, remember this one, tsunami hits Japan and triggers a nuclear disaster. Not a peep out of the psychics. To this time, the worst school shooting in the US, and they did report on US things happening, not mentioned. In Bangladesh, there was the deadliest structural failure in history. You know, over 3,000 people either dead or injured in one building collapse, not mentioned. The famous disappearance of the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. Once in a century storm hit Sydney, missed. NASA announces liquid water found on Mars, like a revolution in science, never before seen on on a celestial body. Missed it. Also, first ever gravitational waves. Going back to politics, Barack Obama visits Cuba, first sitting president since 1928, nearing 100 years, not mentioned. Last page of these. I'm not going to try to pronounce that. That was an interstellar object given a Hawaiian name, the first known interstellar object passed through the solar system. Not a peep out of any one of these clairvoyant people. France experienced its worst civil unrest since 1968. Hundreds injured, thousands arrested, not mentioned. Also in France, Notre Dame is destroyed. Much of the cathedral, not mentioned. And of course, the biggie, right? A global pandemic begins. There are always these vague predictions about outbreaks because there was swine flu and bird flu all over the place. So they would always say something general, but nothing specific. And because of the pandemic, the Dow Jones Industrial Average suffered its largest point drop to that time, not ever mentioned. Also, as I said before, the actual death of Queen Elizabeth this year, not predicted. I think this sums it up. Those on audio. I don't know if this was a meme and someone made it up or it's real, but it's just too good to not include. So it's a sign outside of a hotel, the Town and Country Hotel. And it says in the place where you can change what the sign says, psychic convention canceled due to unforeseen circumstances.
Who could have predicted it?
Yep. So, you know, after all of that, looking at that kind of data, why do believers think psychics are accurate? Like, you know, how could people believe this stuff? Well, the media promotes people with these claims as the real deal and rarely fact checks the predictions afterwards. Like every year they'll publish in December what the next year is going to bring, and no article in the next year says, well, now they got all these wrong. And here's a little sampling from American television. Again, you might have to put the audio up.
Started communicating with the dead when she was just a toddler.
She's a wife and a mom who also happens to talk to dead people.
Please welcome celebrity pet psychic.
Our next guest is a clairvoyant to the stars.
We're back with a group of friends who share a very unique bond. They are all psychic.
So, as you may have noticed there, not they claim to be psychic or we're going to evaluate their predictions. They are all psychic, just like, you know, they are human beings. And by the way, that is Dr. Oz, who is running for Senate, and it's a neck and neck race at this point for a Senate in Pennsylvania.
Okay, I got to ask, what is a pet psychic? Like, is that different than someone who claims that they can communicate with animals? Are they communicating with dead animals or making predictions about pets? What even is that?
So not every psychic is a medium, but every medium is a psychic. And so this is either somebody who says they can read the mind of a living animal, which would just make them psychic, or they are connecting with the dead spirit of an animal, which would make them a psychic medium. But in either case, they might just call themselves a pet psychic.
Car, I've met pet psychics. They're a trip.
Interesting.
I'm quoting pet psychics, quote unquote. Lots of quote unquotes, people.
Heavy air quotes.
Heavy air quotes.
Yikes.
Yeah. So here's cable news, so, you know, cable stations. So every cable station has its own favorite. And by the way, they're all mediums, because that's more interesting than someone who just claims they can predict something about the future. All right, talking to dead people is next level. So all of the people I think who are on cable stations are psychic mediums. Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium. Tyler Henry, who sits down with Hollywood famous people and connects to their dead relatives. So whenever this happens, because it's with famous Hollywood celebrities, like there's an article in a New York magazine, a Los Angeles magazine that says, yeah, the so-and-so got to talk to their dead uncle thanks to Tyler Henry. This is Thomas John. He's the latest flavor. He's had two television shows on two different networks, Seatbelt Psychic and the Thomas John Experience. He basically rides around the country and tells people about their, dead relatives what they want.
Wait a minute. They made a show about a creepy person who picks you up for your ride share and tells nonsense.
I don't want to be sued here, but yeah, creepy, I don't know. But definitely a con artist, I will say that. Because
I've been in a lot of ride share situations with someone that I didn't realize they could be a star of a TV show, but.
So that's because that was a real ride share, right? This show, Susan Gerbic, who we'll talk next week, and remember to ask her about this. She analyzed all the video from the episodes of Seatbelt Psychic, and she found out the people who get in the cabs and the Ubers or whatever it is, Lyfts, are actors, and the people, at least maybe Thomas John didn't know, but I'll put it this way, they didn't know, but the people who hired them to get in his car knew who they were and could feed the information to Thomas John. And all of the information he fed them was from Facebook pages. And also you could check, see the scenes outside the window from his Uber. And she actually has an article, I think it's called Right Turns Only, because he went in a big giant circle, never really bringing them anywhere. He picks them up at a spot and drops them all off at the same spot because they're actors.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he tells them information about themselves.
Yep. And their dead loved ones and whatever. And we'll give it to the people who get into the car that they didn't know this was happening, that they were just hired to be actors, but didn't know what the deal was. And they get emotional because they think this is real, because, how does he know about my dead grandfather, Peter? And it makes an emotional show, and people who watch it believe it. So the thing with Thomas John, and the reason I can call him a con artist, is Susan Gerbic and Mark Edward did a sting on him by going undercover in a live performance out at one of his shows, and fake Facebook pages had been made for them under false identities with false facts, nothing about their real lives. Thomas John called them on the audience and read all the stuff from the Facebook page.
From the fake Facebook pages.
That is correct. People
and
who
he
would
didn't
never...
know it was fake.
Nope. And so this was written up in the New York Times Magazine, because we had triggered them that we were going to do this sort of thing. And it was good enough that they wrote it up in the New York Times Magazine. And this is how sad things are in the world. After that happened, something approaching a year, he was given the show, he became the house show at Caesar's Palace. So this was out there in the public in the New York Times Magazine, and Caesar's Palace still hired him to be their main attraction.
Maybe he was the most credible psychic they could find.
They were trusting people wouldn't actually read this article and hoping that you don't know it, and there's always people that give ad hoc explanations for things that he was having an off night. He can't be right all the time,
after
those excuses.
After he became the house act, Susan actually didn't let go of it. And we sent people in there, and there's articles about what he does in there to make it look like he's actually a medium. Yeah, it's amazing. And then, by the way, he was closed down within a few months by the pandemic, and he had shows scheduled out for the rest of the year because he didn't see it coming. All right. So, you know, this is the kind of thing that's not on television, but it's in, you know, storefronts and on bookshelves as magazines, as CDs, as books, that just promotes it in the public that, yeah, this is real stuff. I stopped on the way to a restaurant with my wife because I had to take a picture of this. So some local high school was having a psychic fair, you know, great place to have their students walk around and being shown that psychics are the real deal, because why else would we have them in our school?
They did this at a school.
Yes, at a school. And somebody who's here might know about this place because I interviewed her about it and she talked all about the inside scoop, right? Helen?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah.
So Helen worked at
Bring
this
up my
place.
Shame, Rob.
The business manager, getting the business.
The business. Yeah.
But read the article. Read the article. And so this is the Spirit University in Sarasota. Is that correct, Helen?
Yes, Sarasota, Florida, where I live.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And they're a pretty big deal. I mean, you know, there are little places like this all over the place, but I would think this might be one of the bigger ones. This is their list of facilitators, and the third and fourth person are like, third and fifth person are famous. You know, Wikipedia articles, the Eben Alexander, the third person there, is a neuroscientist who had his own near-death experience and decided it was all real and afterlife is real and wrote a book about it, maybe more than one book. And then Raymond Moody is the person who invented the term near-death experience. So these people will teach you all about this and how all these other people, how to be psychic and how you can be a medium yourself. And this is thanks to the Spirit University. Helen's place.
I haven't worked there in over 2 years, so shut your mouth.
So don't feel bad, Helen. We talked about this last week. People grew up being indoctrinated into thinking that spirits were a thing, and
as I reported in my interview with Helen, you know, while she was there, she made a complete turnaround and realized it was all BS.
It is. Once you you know, see behind the curtain and how these people operate. And also you see the business side of it. You know, they do have PR people. They right. do have spokespersons. They do have people that, you know, negotiate deals for them of how much money they're going to make and stuff like that. This is not a, right. like people, like I want to have people heal and, you know, connect with their dead grandma and stuff. Like, no, these people are in it for the money because they make a lot of fucking money, which I'm sure Rob's going to talk about.
A little bit. So yeah, while you have some time, while I'm talking about the rest of this, why don't you find the article and put the link to it there where I interviewed you. People might
sure,
be interested
I
in
can
the
do that.
Details. The inside
you
story.
The, you can read me doing the interview. It's very interesting.
So, all right. So I talked about the first point there. The media promotes these people and never fact check them. So the other thing that why people believe this is psychics ignore their wrong predictions and they go to great lengths to make their track record look much better than it is, right? As I mentioned before, they make predictions for expected events and they count those as correct. They take credit for vague predictions like, oh yeah, I said yada, yada, yada. And that means, oh, this thing that just happened, that's what I was talking about. I got that right. Right. And then big one, they ignore the unmade predictions, the things they didn't see coming. And if there were really psychic powers, they would have seen them coming. And maybe worst of all is counting wrong predictions as correct on their own websites. So this is what I talked about before with Kara asked me this. So this is Kerry Culkins. We had quite a large number of predictions by her. Very active psychic in Australia. This is her website. So every year she puts her predictions, at least she's good enough to do that. And she then goes through them and she puts a little check mark next to the ones that she feels were correct, right? These are the ones that got right this year. So this is where it's like just insane. So here's a list and from this goes on and on because she makes thousands of predictions probably in a year. But as you can see, I think it's every one but one there is checked. The new moon on the 24th of January starts a new age in which humanity would be able to find solutions to a lot of its problems. I'm surprised she didn't say that was good. But all of these other ones, she checked as correct. And these we took exception with for sure. Now the other ones that are checked are mostly all vague or expected, by the way. But these ones were just wrong. And she's saying they're correct. Travel over water would be more dangerous. There was no more problem that year than the before. There was no evidence that $50 notes were swamping Australia. Do you remember that, Sasha? No. High winds breaking all records across Australia. We could find no evidence of that. Then let's skip to the next to last one. We may soon be able to get free energy from empty space by harnessing the magnetic field. She marked that as correct. Well, I didn't see that in a damn physics journal. So I don't know where she's getting her information. And again,
what does that even mean?
Well, the best of all is the using anti-gravity to lift heavy. And she marked herself as right on that one. That is just gall. I think in Hebrew and Yiddish, it's called chutzpah.
I think a phrase comes to mind. I must have missed 60 minutes. Didn't see that.
So why does this all matter? So especially to this community, and I was quite surprised at the poll results, because this is the results. In the US, 41% said they believe in psychics. And the Pew Research broke it up into Christian denominations. And it goes from, 33 to, 46. I am really surprised at our results. I'm happy about it, but I'm surprised. Now, interestingly, if you look down towards the bottom, atheists were 10%. So that's the lowest number. You know, it's a quarter of the average in the United States. But still, 10% of atheists believe in this stuff? That blows my mind. But maybe worse off than everything is the last number there. Nothing in particular. People who were not raised with a religion or maybe came out and became sort of spiritual, higher than average by 10%.
Okay, this is my inner grammarian coming out again, but how is it that people, 52% of people who believe in nothing in particular believe in psychics?
I think they mean religiously nothing. Yeah.
You know, okay. Yeah. I still take issue with that.
I don't blame you. All right. So here's the thing about the money. This is also already news that's quite a few years old. And I think these people are making more money now than they did when this was taken, because they have all gone on the internet and learned they can make more money from Zoom sessions than renting halls for a lot of money and getting 300 people. Right. So back then it was $2 billion. This is in the US, right? And this is from 2015, 2017. And this is, I have to give a caveat here. This is what was reported by members to their own society of the American Federation of Certified Psychics and Mediums. So first off, I don't know that they would report cash payments. You know, they might feel they have to do credit card charges. So I'm thinking the $2.1 billion is a low ball, right? And secondly, I just want to point out that because it's American Federation of Certified Psychics and Mediums, you know these people are the real deal because they're certified.
Wait, there's a certification process?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is this, and I always have to say this when I show this data, please, nobody, I would feel so guilty if anyone takes this as career advice. The average psychic, and the term average is again by whatever the American Federation decides is average, makes upwards of $150,000 a year. And a reasonably successful one, $500,000. And those people whose names that you see on television, $5 million plus. And the Federation of Certified Psychics Memes admits that $200 million were scammed. Now, that is a surprising admission that they admit anything, but that is an extremely lowball number. I've given an entire presentation on millions of millions and millions of dollars by thousands and maybe tens of thousands of clients that don't even report it to anyone and can't find any justice. It doesn't get reported anywhere. You know, that number also, I could guess, might be in the billions. They're not calling scam because they believe in psychic powers and mediumship. Clearly, they're not defining that as scammed. They're saying people who don't even have these powers for reals, you know, will take advantage of people for these amounts of money. Up to, by the way, if you look at my other presentation, up to life savings of people, they have taken people.
Wow. And so, that's really the really insidious, dangerous part of this, right?
Absolutely.
Rob, the amount of money that they're taking from people who can't afford to lose it.
Absolutely. If you believe it, you're leaving yourself open to being destroyed financially, never mind also psychologically. So, and talking about, you know, who gets destroyed by these people, this is unfortunate, and it's just the data. I don't want to say why. They don't have non-binary here. They just broke it up into men and women. This was the Federation of Certified Psychics and Mediums registering their own surveys from their psychics and mediums. But this is what they collected the information. The more money somebody is willing to spend in 1 year, the larger the gender disparity grows. And you know, anecdotally, whenever you look at a TV show where there's a psychic on and you look at the, they pan the audience, or you go to a live reading, it's predominantly women, and the men there tend to look uncomfortable, like they were dragged there, you know, because the woman didn't want to go along. So I don't know. We could possibly talk about why this might be later. But basically, you know, this is the summary. For those on audio, I have a cartoon here. It's a psychic talking to a client with a bunch of money on the table with a crystal ball. And she's just saying, you are very bad with money.
I believe we would call that an expected outcome. Yeah,
exactly.
Too obvious.
So this is an article I wrote in Skeptical Inquirer about the harm that is done to people by these scam artists. And you can Google it with any of the information you see there, but it's also going to be in the links, I think, at the end. Belief in psychics, what's the harm and who's to blame in this, in a Skeptical Inquirer. So after the project was over, we decided to publicize it a bit so people knew, you know, all the effort we put in and what we found. And actually before it was over, this is, we finished late in 2021. In March, one of the members who was participating, Adrienne Hill, published her first article in The Skeptic, which is the skeptical magazine of Australia, about what we were doing and what, you know, how we were doing and how long it was going to take to finish, that sort of thing. In late 2021, Richard Saunders, the person who ran the project, went to the San Francisco Bay Area, the Bay Area Skeptics, and also the Australian Skeptics at their national conventions and gave a presentation much like this one, I presume, and talked about it. And finally, when it was all done in December of 2021, the final report was published by Richard Saunders in The Skeptic. And you can actually find this article in the links that are will be provided, The Great Australian Psychic Prediction Project. He also published a follow-up article about some of the things that I saw that I saw were interesting and showed you here about the things they should have seen coming, because it was just too good to not do that. And then finally, I wrote some articles about it. I wrote for the online version of Skeptical Inquirer, which is available for free, and also their print subscription magazine. And on the right, you can actually see a typical Zoom session with a bunch of us there. Richard Saunders, he's on the left side in my article alone, and he's in the upper right upper center panel in Zoom session there. And Susan Garbick is on the left. She's going to be the speaker next week. And I'm at the bottom, and a bunch of other very interesting people. And I was pleased when my article was translated into Spanish so that the Spanish-speaking world could also learn about this. And it's in a magazine called Pensar in South America. Wow. So following the report's publication in The Skeptic, Richard, as well as the executive officer of the Australian Skeptics, a gentleman named Tim Mendham, they were interviewed on numerous times in Australian media, radio, you know, web shows, that sort of thing, also print. And I then decided, since I had interviewed Seth Andrews, and I was wondering if he would be interested in this topic. And lo and behold, he was. So here's a little clip from an episode of The Thinking Atheist.
Okay, today we're going to talk about the ratios and predictive success of psychics. Two very special guests today. I'll let them talk more about what they do, but just some quick background. Rob Palmer has a background in engineering, and he's done some impressive sounding work. Spacecraft designer, aerospace project engineer, computer programmer. And he was once a believer in extraordinary claims before he began to pursue a more critical path. You can find his Facebook page for The Well-Known Skeptic. That's easily searchable. He writes for Skeptical Inquirer and more. And then Richard Saunders is an Australian skeptic, podcaster, and debunker. He He has served as past president for the Australian Skeptics. He hosts the Skeptic Zone podcast. Both of these guys were involved in a project called the Great Australian Psychic Prediction Project. What happens when you actually track psychic predictions to determine accuracy, reliability, etc.? What happens when you take a scientific lens to these supernatural claims? How refreshing. So today we're talking about this very thing. And a huge welcome to Rob Palmer and Richard Saunders. Thanks for coming to talk about the project.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So I was really thrilled that he did that, because one of the things that is a problem with the skeptical community is where that, well, you're preaching to the choir. Like, I'm going to go to the conference and it's all going to be skeptics registered there. I'm going to tell them all about this, but they already know this stuff. So we try to get this out to an audience that wouldn't be looking for that kind of information. And, you know, not all atheists are into the skeptical movement. So since Seth has such a great following, I was really thrilled that he decided to promote this by having us on.
Yeah, so, that is super cool.
Closing thoughts. So, and this is not part of the project, this is my opinion after having been in the project, the appalling record uncovered by our analysis of this huge set of predictions, combined with the failure to predict the over 200 historic items of the time period of the study, should be embarrassing to people claiming and making a living by saying they are clairvoyant, right? It's almost like none of these people are actually psychic. But I'll say, as a proper scientific skeptic, I need to say that maybe somebody is actually psychic out there that we just happen to not have the data for. But no one has ever proved they can do this, right? Psychic, mediumship, other paranormal claims have been investigated and have never been found to be authentic by unbiased researchers. And what I mean is people not already trying to prove that they're true, right? There was a thing called the $1 million paranormal challenge. It was out there for a very long time, decades. It's now defunct because it was started by the person you heard at the beginning of this, which was James Randi, and he retired and that ended. But there are still over 25 other prizes to be won, totaling over $1 million collectively, that have never been won. The organization that publishes the magazine that I write for, the Center for Inquiry, has a thing called the Investigations Group. And they currently have the largest prize at $250,000. And this one, by the way, has a referral fee of $5,000. So if you put up someone and they actually win the $250, you get five also. There's a Wikipedia article list of prizes for evidence of the paranormal, which lists all of these other prizes. And this is just a quick look at the website of CFI talking about this challenge. And you see that little button? Apply online, download application. It is so easy to do. And unfortunately, people who do it don't ever really successfully prove they have any powers at all. There's a list on the right side there of the most recent ones.
You'd think they'd see that coming.
And I'm going to finish up by giving Richard Saunders the last word here.
What we've discovered in many, many hours of poring through these predictions: if you want to be a successful psychic in the prediction game, make many predictions. Make as many as you possibly can churn out and keep most of them vague and ethereal. And then sprinkle those with some very precise predictions. And when occasionally your very precise predictions come true, which they must if you make a lot of them, if you make a lot of predictions in general, then that's the ones you point out and you say, I predicted this would happen. And all the other ones are forgotten, especially by the media, because the story is this psychic got it right. That's all they're interested in.
So, and that's it. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you so much, Rob. That was great. That was a really good description of some of the nonsense that apparently gets put forth as psychic predictions. I'm really glad to be able to quantify that now.
Yeah, and it's a good resource, because like I said, this has never been done. Like, little groups had done their own town newspapers in a year or whatever, but nothing of this magnitude over that long a period of time of that many people. So by the way, while I have that on the screen, if you have an iPhone, just point your camera and snap it, or I don't know how it works on Android, but you'll go to my page, which has all of my articles, my video interviews with people like Neil deGrasse Tyson, and all of that all in one place, plus an access to my Facebook page. Please follow. Thank you again. I'll stop the share.
Awesome. Thank you. And I just put your other link where people can find you in the chat as well. That was awesome. Thank you so much. And we have a few minutes left that we can do some Q&A. Do you want to answer a few questions, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's see what we have here. So one person was asking, is there any particular reason that this study was done in Australia?
Oh, well, just because it was done by the Australian skeptics. And, you know, that just was a logical place for them to start, to be able to pull the data up from the libraries and whatever that they had locally. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe a tangential question might be, what would happen if you did that in other countries? Is there any reason to believe that the results would be any different? Yeah, I mean, you'd have to explain why people down under, you know, or have, you know, they're all not good at it, but people in America or any other country would be great at it. And also, it would be much harder to do something of that magnitude if you picked like America, because Australia basically, correct me if I'm wrong, Sasha, has about the population of one of our states, like Florida. So, you know, the number of psychics is probably 10 times. And therefore, the predictions would be 10 times, and it would be an even much larger task. You know, it would be great if someone did that, but it wasn't in the scope of the Australian skeptics.
Okay, so it had to do with, this is where the study was done. It wasn't like there was something extra special about there being a huge amount of psychics in Australia.
Or if we were wondering if people who are also standing upside down on the planet, you know, had less powers or more powers than, no, that wasn't it. They're all Australians. They think they're standing the right way. So
their toilet's flushed the other way anyway. Yeah, they can't be reliable. Yeah.
There's no upside down in space. All right, Helen, what else do we have for Rob?
So this is something you and I have talked about, Rob, before. Psychics have conventions and seminars. Do they say quiet parts out loud, or does everyone pretend this stuff is legit?
Do they, I didn't get that. Do they say quiet things out loud?
Do they say, so like when all the psychics get together and at the conventions and stuff like that, do they know that they're running a grift? We've talked about this before.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And I got asked this a lot of times previously, and I'm not an expert in that. The person next week is much closer to an expert. So we will ask Susan Gerbic that. But my take on it is, it's, some of them think they're for real. I just don't know what the percent is. Some of them absolutely are frauds, like Thomas John. Because you can't mistakenly read fake Facebook things back to people without knowing you looked at Facebook. Well, I'm sorry, I don't want to be sued. The spirits of the dead who he was talking with could really be pissed at him, because they, you know, he won't let them sleep in peace, rest in peace. So they looked at the Facebook and knew it was false, but they gave it to him to make him look bad so he'd be stung by the New York Times. That's the other option. But besides that, he's a freaking fraud, right? And he knows he's a fraud. And most of these people who do that kind of thing on television do hot reading and combinations of a skill called cold reading. I mean, they know what they're doing. You know, regarding individuals that you might meet in person, might be somebody online right now who thinks they're psychic, it's a tricky thing, because if you're intuitively good at reading people, reading just their emotions, or you're good at making guesses because of things you see about people, and this is cold reading, and you guess enough things and that people say, oh, you're right about that. Oh yeah, I could fit that in. I think that's sort of right. Then it reinforces your feeling that maybe you do have psychic powers. And before long, you absolutely think you have psychic powers. So there are definitely people like that. What the percent is, I don't know.
Because I've seen that when I was working at the Spirit University, we saw a lot of that with the, you know, facilitators and stuff like that, because if you're an empathetic person and you know how to read facial expressions, and the person is confirming to you, if you guess something right, you say like, you know, because if you bring up somebody's mother and they kind of get uncomfortable and you read their body language, it's like, was your relationship with your mom not the best? the person will say yes. And then you feel like you got some kind of download from, you know, the ethers or whatever, where they're just confirming something that you picked up on. You registered it unconsciously, but you didn't actually like recognize, I can read their body language. You just felt like you got this impression,
right,
that their relationship wasn't, you know, and you see, because I did it too. I've done that when, you know, before I started working at the Spirit University, and I saw it happening all the time. And I was like, and I went, and this is right around the time I just was going to college, and, you know, I was coming out of college and really understanding a lot of the stuff that I learned. I was like, oh, this is a lot of mental gymnastics and psychology and reading body language and putting it all together and think that you have this ability. And I've met people that are complete grifters. You can tell that they want to make money and they don't care how they make it, and they know how to manipulate people. So there is definitely both on both ends, for sure.
Yeah. So Susan, who's speaking next week, her boyfriend, live-in boyfriend, is Mark Edward. He's got a Wikipedia article. You looked it up. Not plural, singular, Mark Edward. And he was the, you know, best performer on the Psychic Friends Network for a long time, to the point where they wanted to give him a TV show. He joined to see how this was done. And, you know, this is way back in the day when, you know, you made phone calls and there wasn't the internet yet. So now a lot of this stuff is done on the internet, but you made a phone call at 99 cents a minute to talk to a psychic, right? And he would keep them on the line and he'd give them all of these information. And sometimes he'd get repeat callers like we do at RFR, right? And the person, you were so helpful. Oh my God, what you said last month was so right. And that feedback to him made him start to think that, wow, I do have some power. So it's a scary thing to get that reinforcement when you're on the edge. There's also a famous skeptic, actually, but somebody who started the skeptical movement, who at one point was like doing palm reading, and he was getting such good results that he thought he was doing this like magically some way. Then someone said, hey, let's do a test here. The next person you do, say the exact opposite of what you really think it means on their palm. And that person also said, yeah, you're right. So, and that, whoa, okay, thank you for saving me. That's what was happening.
Yeah, it's like how people think their horoscope sounds like them exactly every time, but it's so general that it could sound like most people. Okay, so here's another question. In the study that you were talking about, where were people making those predictions and were they paid for them?
Yeah, so these were all in Australian media, right? They were in newspapers and magazines, mostly for the following year in late December. Like, you know, if you did it in 2000, these are my predictions for the coming year, 2001. And yeah, I presume if you're writing in a magazine, you're paid. Yeah, right. And some of them were not paid because they're going probably as guests on a radio show or something like that. And it's publicity for them because all of these people have their own businesses where they charge people. So, you know, even if they didn't get paid that way, it was publicity that made them look good. And yeah, YouTube, as it came up to the current date, you know, people who have YouTube channels or on their own websites in some cases, where they just, these are my predictions for this year. Yeah. And by the way, as Richard, going back to the gender disparity, as Richard pointed out, when they started finding what magazines are these predictions in, they're in women's magazines.
Yeah.
Right. You don't find them in Field and Stream or, you know, NASCAR racing. For some reason, that's the audience.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder also, is there a gender disparity in the identity of psychics and mediums?
So that's interesting, and I don't have scientific evidence on that, but from my observations, which is just totally anecdotal, mm-hmm. Because of the ones I know who are the con artists who rip people off by having little shops in neighborhoods, they're all women. I mean, mm-hmm. I could give you 20 names off the top of my head, and not one was a male. Mm-hmm. And yet, the people who are the most famous on television, maybe the exception of Teresa Caputo, are all men.
Yeah, that tracks.
That's interesting.
Typical. Yeah. It'll be the smallest percentage of people in an industry. Somehow the ones who are men are the ones who are making money off of it.
Yeah. John Edwards, Matt Fraser, Tyler Henry. These are the millionaires, 5 million plus. And I can only think of Teresa Caputo and the woman.
The ones that we would try to get the center are mostly men.
Yeah. That's an interesting topic. I feel like that could be the topic of a whole other discussion. So keep that in mind.
This is just my sort of conspiracy psychological theory that a lot of the audience for these people are older, and there is that impression among, especially amongst older people, that men have more authority and they're more likely to speak truth. And so that audience is going to respond to a man better as far as having like them doing galleries, because they're able to hold a presence. They're able to speak with, like, I know that I'm talking to your dead grandma, where women, especially in older generations, they will prefer a more intimate setting with a woman, like a one-on-one setting versus a gallery. This is just observation from what I observed when I worked there. Because I live in Florida, and I tend to work with the population that I worked with was older. So this is all anecdotal, but that is just my conspiracy theory.
And yeah, no. Brain. Yeah, but I mean, you know, you're kind of speaking to that same thing as, you know, in the fundamentalist Christian tradition. You know, women be silent in the church. Only men can give the divine knowledge.
And a lot of these people came from religion, fundamental. A lot of them came from Christian denominations like Pentecostals and Baptists and Catholics. Like, they came from male dominated systems. These people weren't just like grew up non-religious and decided they were going to start believing in psychics. Every one of them was either involved in a religion or it came out of religion, and they're no longer like religious, but they're spiritual.
So I'm going to throw something out in this regard about the religious versus non-religious people. This is from my previous presentation, but it's kind of important in this context, is the private eye who deals with, you know, victims have been defrauded out of maybe even their life savings. I interviewed him and asked him, you know, does religion play a part in this? And he said, you know, now that I think of it, not one of my clients that was ripped off by these people was an atheist. So, you know, the belief that you go into it with of the religious, spiritual, is the supernatural realm, is just a little bit of a jump that someone can read somebody's mind and speak to dead people. And so those are the people more likely by a lot to go and be defrauded, whereas an atheist is more likely to say, I don't believe in this at all, so goodbye.
Yeah. And I think that comes from like the, you know, I know from my own experience that I had left religion, but I still had the magical thinking going on when I got this job. And then when I saw behind, then everything was like, oh, this, everything is bullshit. And I think because I was already on that skeptical journey, but if you, just because you leave religion doesn't mean you leave the magical thinking behind.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we have to keep, that in mind, that you can, atheism means that you just don't believe in sky gods. That's all it means.
Right.
You can still believe in ghosts and spirits and psychics and all that crazy shit.
If you draw the Venn diagram of humanists, which mostly the atheists, and scientific skeptics, there's an overlap, and I don't know how much it is, but it's not 100%. It absolutely is not 100%.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I have talked about general topics at a humanist meeting and brought up skeptical topics and was challenged. Where I would never, if I went to a skeptical meeting, would they, like, I said Jenny McCarthy is, I just talked about it because, oh, she's on this page because she's an anti-vaxxer. And I was heckled from the audience because she's right. You know, that would never happen at a scientific skeptical conference.
Great conversation this evening. Thank you so much, Rob.
Recovering from Religion is a nonprofit organization whose mission it is to provide hope, healing, and support to those struggling with issues of doubt and non-belief. Hope, Healing, and Support is waiting for you on our website, recoveringfromreligion.org. There you can speak or chat with a trained agent who will work with you through your struggles and doubts or to help find resources that may work for you. You can also find local Recovering from Religion support groups in your area for the long-term recovery work. Resources specifically curated for those struggling with doubts, disbelief, and trauma can also be found on the RFR website. To connect with a secular therapist in your area, go to seculartherapy.org and create an account. If you'd like to support the work that RFR does, you can donate or sign up as a volunteer on the Recovering from Religion website. It's also a big help subscribing to the RFR YouTube channel, our blog, or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Questions, comments, and suggestions can be emailed to us at rfrx@recoveringfromreligion.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you'll be with us next time on the Recovering from Religion podcast.